This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Psst, hey, producer Ron, hey. Come on. Yeah. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
I just had an interview about my new special. Mm-hmm. And once again, there were a lot of questions about who my favorite comics in history are. And I don't know anything about that. Like, what's a George Carlin?
That's a comic.
Damn it. I was way off. Hey, do you think we could maybe do an episode where we watch comics I've never heard of so I don't look like such an idiot from now on?
Ben, to see?
Yeah.
Ben.
Yeah.
Ben. Oh, here you are. What are you guys doing in this closet? Oh my God. Are you having another secret meeting with producer Ron to discuss ulterior motives for the challenge?
Yeah, he is.
No, that's right. What the
Normally, this is the very beginning of the pod where I just lead with a sweet, sweet riff, but I have nothing this morning, and I am not going to lie to you, the listener, with some half-baked riff. I'm just going to come up and tell you I don't have anything funny immediately, but I'm hoping to warm up over the course of the episode. This is the Grolic Saves the World. My name is Adam Caton Holland.
My name is Ben Roy.
And I'm Andrew Orvidal.
And this is a podcast where we better the world around us by bettering ourselves through challenges. And I'm laid bare. I'm honest this morning.
Yeah.
And why phone it in?
Wow. You went to the pantry and found it bare of riffs.
I really
My
did.
God. This has never
really
happened
did.
Before.
It's never happened.
Just riff crumbs.
Is it more like... You didn't realize you needed to go to the store and get more riffs, or are you expecting like a riff delivery that's late? Like, how could this have happened?
No, I think it's that I didn't go to the store. Like, I woke up and like I was like, oh God, I've got 9 people coming over for breakfast and I've got no riffs to serve.
Yeah.
And it's been sort of a panic state all morning, being like, well, maybe I can find something in downstairs, and it's just not there, and I should have gone to the store.
I know you keep your riffs way up high,
so the kids can't get into them.
Yeah.
You don't want a kid finding a riff and then having it go off in their face.
And so I can imagine you hands up over the top, just like feeling on the shelf, but just riff crumbs.
You know, I've cached
everywhere.
Most riffs like a squirrel, you know what I mean, around the house, but I've checked all the regular spots, and I guess I already went there and pulled them out in the dead of night and sort of munched on that riff. They're useless. So here we are.
Here we are,
dudes.
Yeah, Ben and I probably have some leftover riffs, and we can, you know, have a riff potluck.
And that's the lesson, I guess. The lesson is reach out.
I eat my riffs when they're fresh out of the oven. I like them warm.
You don't like leftover riffs? Oh, I don't mind a good leftover riff. I'll take that out of the foil in the fridge a day late. Texas.
Producer Ron is shaking his head at how much of this riff garbage.
You know who really likes riff talk is producer Ron, who's allergic to riffs. It's tragic, but producer Ron is allergic to riffs. We have to have an EpiPen with us at all times. Anytime we're riffing or goofing, Ron, he swells up like he ate the wrong thing in Wonka's Chocolate Factory, and we got to stab him with his fucking EpiPen. It's tragic.
It really is. He's in the wrong biz. But it also, I
riffs,
think,
not even once with a picture of Ron.
With Ron splayed out on the ground. I think the lesson here is swallow your pride a little bit. And if you don't have any riffs in your house, go next door. Ask the neighbor if you can borrow a riff. You know, text your boys. Say, hey, you got any riffs this morning? Or we're plumb out. And I'm glad that we had this talk.
Yeah.
As much as I would love to see footage of you asking your neighbor to borrow a riff, Adam, do we have a real challenge for this episode?
We do. Actually, I'm going to bring this challenge, and it's not an overly complicated one, but I think for us as stand-up comics, it's an important one. I was doing some shows out of town, and as you both know, when you're a comedian and someone asks what you do,
you lie.
I tell them you're in sales.
Normally you'll lie. Mm-hmm. This time I was quite high, and I told them I was a stand-up comic, to which they then told me a terrible joke.
Racist?
Nope, misogynistic.
Okay. Yeah,
oh, true. Okay. So many choices.
Yeah, there is. So, they told me a joke, and then they started to what typically comes next is tell me their favorite comedians.
Yes.
Even though I did not ask. And what I have come to and to a point, and I'm sure you both have, is that now I just nod my way through. When they tell me who the greatest comics of all time are, I just am like, yep. Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Carlin? Yeah, I've seen. What, Dangerfield? Yeah, I know it. Lenny Bruce? Mm-hmm, old pro, I'm a comic. I've never seen any of these specials, I realize. I don't know about you all, but I didn't come at this from a stand-up comedy background. I didn't listen to a lot of stand-up comedy growing up.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, did you both?
I listened to Bill Cosby and Steve Martin. That was it. That was the only stand-up I was like at all subjected to as a child.
I'm with you guys. I wasn't one of those worships at the altar of stand-up comedy. The only stand-up that came my way was Bill Cosby, Fatherhood. My dad had a cassette tape. We'd play that in car trips. And like, I mean, I don't even know if you consider it stand-up comedy. Garrison Keillor tapes. Like on long road trips. It's like storytelling stuff.
I didn't either. Bill Cosby was my introduction. I imagine for a lot of kids of the 80s and for Andrew of the 60s, like those were comedians.
I'm not even gracing it with the reaction anymore.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, there's enough for us to go around.
Yeah.
While my riff cabinet's empty, Ben is filling it up.
Mine
is
overfloweth. I think like Bill Cosby himself was like huge. I had that tape. That was like what I thought stand-up comedy was. I've never watched Carlin in its entirety. I've obviously seen clips and Kinison or Lenny Bruce, or the only one of those that really like struck a chord, but this was well after I started, was Bill Hicks. I remember seeing Social Satirist and his set at JFL. But outside of that, I don't know.
Once I started doing stand-up comedy, I went and listened to a lot of it. Like there was a period in the first 3-4 years where I was like, oh, I'm in love with stand-up comedy. I want to know all about this genre.
You crammed.
So I did listen to a lot of stuff then. But certainly there's holes.
What about you, Andrew? Did you cram?
No, I did not cram. I also loved stand-up comedy, but I did not go back and really cram it in there. I felt like I was hearing it just by doing it, doing a lot of shows, seeing a lot of stand-up. I didn't really delve back in on purpose. So what's the challenge? We just never tell anyone we do comedy again? I'm down.
Accepted.
Is that the challenge? Cool. Yeah, okay.
No, what I think the challenge is we learn our comedy roots. We each pick a special of somebody that is considered to be a pioneer, somebody that paved the way for stand-up comedy. You know, find a list online and find the common ones, ones that are considered definitive classics of this genre.
Tim Allen, and Larry the Cable Guy, Roseanne.
Yes. I mean,
all the bricks that make up the wall that is Adam Caton-Hall.
This is my Mount Rushmore, and I salute you.
I think we each pick a special from a comic.
All right.
That one of those that is considered a classic, And we watched this.
There's so many that I could choose from because I really haven't gotten.
Andrew, is there not one album that like speaks to you? Like that you, there's not one. I mean, Ben and I keep saying Cosby, which obviously didn't age well.
Oh, no, I'll find one. I'm saying that there's so many. There's so many that I could choose from because I didn't watch any of them.
Yeah.
But I remember when I first started doing stand up, somehow I got a hold of Dave Attell, Skanks for the Memories. I think it's because I learned it was recorded at Comedy Works.
Yep.
And I remember that blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I listened to that so many fucking times.
It was a great comedy album.
Great comedy album.
Yeah.
There was none like that that you got into early when you started stand-up.
No, I mean, I heard them. I'd have friends that would play stuff in the car on road trips, traveling with comedy. They'd pop in something. So I've heard Skanks for the Memories. I've heard all Mitch Hedberg's albums. I've heard Dana Gould has an early album. I don't remember the name of it, but it was amazing. So I've definitely heard some of that. I don't know. For me, those are all amazing albums. I don't know if they've aged yet to become classic. So maybe we go pre 1990.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go back to the comedy that is considered important. Groundbreaking comedy
that we just missed, sort of.
Yeah.
We're going to learn our roots. We're going to learn our comedy roots.
So going back, doing a little education on the people that paved the way for us, I think it's great. And at times, well, because my special Hyena is out right now. I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. And it dovetails really nice.
I see.
And people can listen to it.
You know what? Well played. A good piece of promo, a good piece of PR is appreciated by your boy Adam Catenhall, and that was effortless.
Thank you.
The way you just put that.
So organic. You hooked us with the idea of this challenge.
It was so good. Let me in and Andrew take over for a minute. Ben Roy has a brand new special out called Hyena.
Thank you.
He did it with 800 Pound Gorilla. It's currently only available to rent for two more days, and on August 10th, it will be out for free. But I got to say this, rent it. All that money helps Ben recoup the cost of what it costs to shoot it, and then he can earn profits down the road. So if you want to throw Ben some money, rent it first, but it will be free for everyone August 10th. We should do a sub-chal, Andrew. We should see where Ben's special ranks in the pantheon.
Oh, you guys don't have to do any of that.
Absolutely. I've watched Ben's special, so yes, let's...
You've watched it already?
I've watched it. I paid for it.
Guys, I don't want you to talk about your opinions about what I do. I'd prefer you didn't.
Well, then you shouldn't have brought this challenge because...
Oh, I don't like this at all.
Yes, I have watched Ben Special because I'm a good friend, even though I've heard the jokes enough. I could have been his second. I could have been backstage wearing a parachute.
Okay, see, that kind of thing, when you do that...
What? We performed a lot together. I'm just saying that I'd heard the material.
Okay, well, I'm going to do this.
We'll see where he ranks on my personal Mount Rushmore. Does he sit next to Roseanne? Does he get up?
Cheek to cheek on Mount Rushmore. Ben Roy and Roseanne.
Oh, looking down at us with their wisdom as a huge flag above
them.
This
is hard because Adam puts Roseanne on his Mount Rushmore is kind of progressive because it's a woman, but then it's also Roseanne.
Yeah.
So Adam is always kind of leaning in and out of good and bad. But
don't forget Ben's going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival with Roseanne as their comedy duo, Ben Roy-Zan.
No, I am not. Okay, let's do this. So we have our challenge. We'll just stop there. We're going to watch a full entire special from one of the greats, or a special that is considered very important to the history of comedy. And
rank Ben in that.
A sub-challenge. Adam and Andrew are going to see where I rank in that, and I don't like that. You don't have to do the sub-challenge. So that's great. We've got it. And why don't we do this? Let's listen to some live stand-up comedy from a guy who may be touching genius.
Is that why you named your penis?
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's your body language when you said it.
Where does Andrew's riff right there rank in the history of stand-up comedy? Because I personally will have a plaque on my Mount Rushmore beneath Roseanne. Not because it wasn't a special, but it was a riff worthy of noting. So there will be a plaque recording the date and time on my Mount Rushmore where Andrew did the genius penis riff. That will be
genius
that will be penis. There. I will salute that as well.
I'm touching genius right now. Okay. Why don't we listen to some live stand-up comedy from me, from my new special, Hyena, which becomes free on YouTube August 10th. And as always, we'll put the link down there in the show notes. So enjoy this clip of stand-up. And when we return, we're going to be archives of the history of comedy. Yeah, we'll
be experts.
So much better. We'll be
learned.
Experts.
All right.
Stay tuned.
You all, this means so much to me. And thank you all for being here. And what a night. I want to say this right off the bat. If at any point you're easily offended, oh, I don't fucking care. Like, I truly don't give a shit. If anything I say upsets you, fuck off. Like, legitimately. And I want to say, times are crazy. I want you to know I'm carrying a knife because of some shit that happened at the Oscars. You know, so I am fully armed on stage right now. And I'm going to be honest with you all. I don't know how to hold this fucking thing. Which actually makes it feel far more dangerous, doesn't it? The fact that I'm holding my knife like that feels like it'd fall out of my hand at any time. Get up on stage. Say what you want to say. Do it. Yes, I'm armed. God, what a time to be alive. Oh, God.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Grolic Saves the World. It is the second half. Through the magic of P-casting, time has elapsed. It is later. It is the future. And I think we've all listened to stand-up. We are now all official historians of stand-up comedy.
I can just tell by looking at us. We all just know a little bit more about stand-up.
We look wiser.
I understand it. Yeah. I know
we're archives now, as Ben might say. We're archives.
We're physical archives.
No,
we're cabinets. Come up to us and peruse our documents.
No,
they're full of historical
I meant
acumen.
Arbiters or archivists. I knew you were going to get on me for that. I stumble over my words.
And thank you for knowing. Thank you for knowing it.
I am even more satisfying. I am an arsonist of comedy at this point.
Okay. Anyway,
I am an archer. I am an archer of comedy.
Okay, stop. Okay, I get the point.
I'm an anthropomorphist of comedy.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's ask the question that makes this whole show go around.
The question that America's dying to know.
Did we all do the challenge? Did we do the challenge?
I did the challenge.
Yes, I did. Adam?
I did as well.
Wow.
And that is the Grolic. We propose a challenge, then we do the challenge, play the song, and we're out.
That's it.
You might be out of riffs today, Adam, but your heart is full of song. That's song number two. Wow.
Yeah.
I love it.
They're weird songs. There's no real discernible rhythm.
Yeah, but I like it. Ben, you brought the challenge, so why don't you go first? Tell us how far back you dove. Give us all the details.
Well, thank you for noticing me sitting over here. And thank you to the esteemed panel here, my colleagues, of course, at the Comedy Archives.
Wait, Ben, I want to let you know, I see you too.
Ben, I stopped seeing you.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
Wait, why can't we both see him at the
same
time?
No, because once I knew you were seeing him, I was like, I guess I could just stop. As long as somebody's watching the baby, I'm fine. I'm gonna be in the other room.
Fair enough. I'll take this shift.
Nobody puts baby in the comedy corner. here I am. I
Ben, you'll be at the Comedy Corner this weekend, right?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm doing the Comedy Corner. That's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay.
12 shows, Thursday to Sunday. Wow.
Jeez.
Yeah.
We're chorus load.
Yeah. So I did complete the challenge. One could say that I went quite a ways back to the comedian who's usually listed at the top of, in the top three comics of all time.
Bill Engvall from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
No, he's four. He's been nudged out.
Right.
That guy is so pointed. He's always so right on. You know what I mean?
Nipping at the heels of the greats.
And he's like, oh, why do kids do that stuff? Do you know what I mean? Do you remember that bit?
I do.
Why do they do that stuff?
I do.
No, I went back to Lenny Bruce. And admittedly, I knew very little about Lenny Bruce. I did read How to Talk Dirty and Influence People. But I had only read the book and I had seen clips. So I had not seen a full hour. And in fact, I will admit, part of the reason why I chose this is I tried to watch a full hour set of his and made it about 4 minutes in before I was like, this sucks. I don't want to, I don't like this. But he's always regarded as extremely important for modern comedy.
Right. And freedom of speech and being sort of targeted for all the subversive things he was saying and going on trial. You know about the history of Lenny Bruce more than you know, like, jokes from Lenny Bruce.
Exactly. For his obscenity charges and
right.
for the way that it bankrupted him. He basically, Lenny Bruce, his legal battles ended up killing his career and ultimately sort of driving him insane. And so there is, for free, which I recommend everybody to watch, a special that was taped in San Francisco, which became the only place that Lenny Bruce at the end of his career really? Was allowed to perform at. There was a full, very rare set on YouTube of him in 1961 in San Francisco after he had been banned from everywhere, performing in the basement of what looks like some sort of bar or something. And so I watched this full hour and oof, is it tough. It is just as tough as the first. And I believe I texted you guys that he is the James Joyce of stand-up comedy. And Andrew responded with an odd, bizarre...
No, it was a great James Joyce joke that you just didn't get. I said, why? Because he's into fart porn?
I did get
Remember,
it.
Remember, we found out that James Joyce, all about talking dirty, talking about farts.
Yes.
Anyway.
Flatulence.
It was lost on you. On you.
No, it was not lost on me. It was just, that's weird that that's what you've latched onto about James Joyce and Ulysses.
Yeah, that's the only thing I learned from that challenge. Didn't finish the book. Learned you like farts. Done. Next challenge. Team me up, daddy.
I felt like he was the James Joyce of comedy, mostly because, one, it's long, it's tough to digest. But if you are willing to listen closely, not only because the audio is a little crackly, but also because it's just he mumbles like a motherfucker. He just kind of, and he breaks in and out of characters. There are some really fucking funny jokes in there that I actually found myself at least 7 or 8 times I laughed out loud. But I did also find it did not age well. He drops the N-bomb a few times, but using it as a character who is terrible. And so he was trying to make a point and honestly is one of the funnier jokes in that, where he's talking about why Lyndon Johnson couldn't speak correctly. What was crazy is if you were to, he's talking about police and policing in America and about how you have these average people that we assign to do this job who have no understanding about law and the differentiating between what is crimes of language and murder. They're like, that's just a law. It's just a hard, fast rule. There was a lot of stuff that was very insightful and ahead of its time. And he also held some terrible ideas that were very much of the time as well.
You know what's crazy? This is my exact review of your special.
Oh my God.
This is crazy. Did you read my review off the 800-pound gorilla site? Because verbatim.
And Ben, that review is going everywhere. It is being shared a lot. Andrew seems to have captured the pulse of what you do.
So... Thank you. I appreciate that. My opinion...
Enunciate more. That's all I'm saying. Enunciate more.
My opinion is, as a stand-up comic, especially from that time, I think there are comics that were far funnier, far better character actors, but he was legitimately the first person to go there. And what is super interesting about this and kind of ahead of its time as well, is the whole set is him reading through a trial. Like, he's got the trial transcripts and he's going through beat by beat and he's mentioning these cops because there's no recording devices at this time. So it's all word of mouth. It's all people saying that I thought he wasn't funny. I thought it was vulgar. And then they're like, he talked about having sex with a chicken and the crowd laughs. And then he goes into what I was saying was, and then he does the bit.
Oh, wow.
In San Francisco from the safety of where he was. And he's talking about it. And it is sort of genius. Like him thumbing his finger, like his thumbing his nose.
That's a brilliant, conceit for a show.
Yeah.
It is a little navel gazing, obviously, but I'm sure people were there to see him talk about this shit.
Yeah.
You know?
That is clearly why people were there, is because you're seeing the outlaw comic.
Totally.
This is a guy who has four times been arrested and found guilty. Three, I believe, times found guilty of obscenity charges, to the point where it had to go to the Supreme Court and he was found not guilty. He was eventually acquitted by the Supreme Court that it was protected under the First Amendment rights. What's also ironic, and I will poke fun at this all the time, and I love it, is the people who espouse Carlin and Lenny Bruce as being arbiters of freedom of speech would fucking hate their message. If they listened to his stand-up, these people who are like, these are the guys, well, let's go back to a time when they weren't snowflakes. They were, you know what I mean? You would have hated his fucking message. Like, it is unequivocal that this was a guy who championed for liberal. He talks about liberalism in it, that they're trying to make the world liberal, that he is. So it's super ironic that people who talk about them being for freedom of speech would have hated their opinions on things. So I was definitely glad that I listened to it, because it was not at all what I expected. It is very hard to listen to. And listen, he's a dude from that time, so he does have some terrible ideas on things. But for the most part, I can see why it was considered so important. And I'm glad I watched it.
Nice.
And that's my review of it.
Very nice.
Have you both watched any Lenny Bruce at all?
Just like clips.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even quote them if I had to. So they didn't really stick with me. But I know I've seen.
Did he do the Hot Pocket bit?
No, that's Jim Gaffigan. But they're so close.
Oh, right.
And Gaffigan is really biting.
A lot of people make that. Yeah. They've both been arrested for obscenity so many times. It makes sense.
Yeah. Adam, why don't you go next? I'm going to pick. We're going to hand off and shotgun the mic here. So,
okay. I will happily go next. It's fun. Well, yours is from 1961. The album that I listen to is from 1962.
Wow.
So we both went right to the same, which is pretty funny if you think about these guys performing side by side. But I have always been curious about Bob Newhart.
Oh, damn.
I loved the show Newhart when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too.
Fuck yeah.
I thought it was funny. But then I heard that Bob Newhart was a comedian, and you hear him described as kind of like a, almost like an alt comic. Like, he's very square and he wears a suit. But like, what he was doing, I've heard, was kind of offbeat and sort of left of center. And so I was just like curious what that was. So I had an album somebody gave me, like an old vinyl record sitting in that I've never listened to. And it's The Button Down Mind. What's it called? Bob Newhart, The Button Down Mind on TV. And if you read the back, it was like he did all this material on NBC over the course of a year. but nobody, not everybody had TV. So this was him recording all that material in one show for people to listen to on records, which far more people listened to than television.
Wow.
And he actually, he recorded it at the Broadmoor Hotel in Colorado Springs.
No way.
Whoa.
That was recorded at the Broadmoor.
That's crazy.
Yeah, this album is recorded at the Broadmoor.
I did not fucking know that. That's so rad.
Totally. I mean, you want to talk about peak insufferable hipster ACH, just sitting down with a cup of coffee, some steamed oat milk, of course. God, 10 o'clock a.m. so in his living room, putting on a Newhart vinyl and just having,
I want to punch you in the face so fucking bad.
I feel like you put on a cardigan even though it was like 98 degrees out. You're like...
It was. I started the fire. It was 99 degrees outside, but I was like, this is what is needed right now.
It's deliberately working against your central air.
I passed out three times.
Wow.
From laughter, two from heat exhaustion. But it was so weird and great. And like, honestly, they're all just little vignettes. For example, the first bit, introducing tobacco to civilization. That's the name of the first bit. So he's like imagining Sir Walter Raleigh in the colonies calling the head of the West Indies Company trying to sell him on tobacco. And it's like super literate. But that's a funny premise. It's like, okay, it's this plant you roll up and blah, blah, blah. And basically it was just that conversation. But each bit was kind of some absurd conceit like that. He's like, hey, you ever wonder how tobacco was sold, how they marketed that? What if Sir Walter Raleigh had to sell it to this guy? And then every time he would go, it might just sound a little something like this. and you realize that's our shorthand for like hacky comedy. Yeah. But I think Newhart was the first to be like, isn't that a funny idea? Might just go like this. And then he would launch into these
amazing,
absurd.
Let's bring that back. And it might just sound a little something like this.
And when he did that, the first time, I was like, oh, hilarious. He's referencing the thing and kind of mocking it. I was like, oh, no, he is the thing. Like, I didn't know what that thing was. So I just, they were all really absurd. And like, are they as funny as things we listen to now? No, but you could tell this was the first guy to sort of push comedy that way. Like, I feel like if Bob Newhart was big today, he would be on Adult Swim. He'd be like a Tim and Eric, is just very weird. Wow. Pushing the platform to the outer realm.
Were they funny? Like, did you laugh, or were they more like amusing?
Yeah, they were very funny, but they were quaint to a 2023. Like, one was a team. He's like, you always hear about experts defusing a bomb. You know, it's still very like post-war. Like, they find bombs in fields in France and experts, team of experts go to defuse them. But what if it wasn't a team of experts? What if it was non-experts defusing a bomb? It might just go a little something like this. And it was like a small town sheriff, and his like deputy called him, found a bomb on the beach, and he's like talking him through. He's like, okay, it says you need a QRX17 non-metal tip screwdriver. You don't have one? Just use a penny. Like, you know, is that type of shit.
Yeah.
So they're funny conceits. Yeah. They're just very dated. But there was one that was so clever. It was like, it was the, what's it called? General Chariot Corporation. And it was talking about the Roman Colosseum and chariots. And what if they marketed those like they market cars now? And so it was like a sales group trying to sell the new chariot.
Oh, that's super funny premise.
Right. So as the head of the General Chariot Corporation being like, we got to sell the new models, you know, and he would do clever things. He's like, we got to look ahead. It's 421 BC and we're going to have to start thinking about 420 BC. Like, that's a funny joke. And then end of that sales pitch, he's like, yes, you keep interrupting me. What is it? Oh, you have an appointment? Okay, well, go ahead. I'm almost wrapping it up. He's like, what's that? You need to borrow a knife? Okay, here you go, Brutus. Just like funny yeah, stuff.
That's pretty funny.
So I actually loved it. And I thought, you know, my friend gave me this album, my friend Tim, who owns Baker Spirits. If you need to go get any alcohol, go to Baker Spirits in the South Broadway area.
Adam.
He gave me this album because he's like, you'll like this. And I do think my favorite jokes of my own are where I take a weird character and go with it for 9 minutes. You know, like, So I could see why he... It was like, you would probably like this. This guy was doing shit like that. So
yeah.
I recommend anyone know this. I just didn't know that Bob Newhart was this oddball. And that, in a way, he was taking people who were very square. It's the Broadmoor. This is a fancy hotel in Colorado Springs. And
yeah.
He'd done all this material on NBC. But I think there's a bit of rebellion planting these sort of weird ideas in regular mainstream America's head. That's like, you need a safe vessel, like besuited, nice Bob Newhart to sort of make your brain go off in weird directions. And I love that he did that.
Yeah, I've often heard that he was the godfather of observational and surrealist humor. Like, he's considered like somebody that a lot of those people who really refined that style look to Bob Newhart as a big influence.
Surrealist is a really good way to put it. And I feel like, you know, in our terms, he would be an alt comic in the 2000s, going to the weird shows, doing weird shit with Birbiglia and the guys from The State. And yeah, exactly. Like,
he's so running the show at Rafifi.
Yeah, yeah.
They were all just super like historical bits. The last bit on the album is two German soldiers holed up in a farmhouse who haven't learned that World War II is over, and it's 1962. And finally, they work up the nerve to go like look at the other farmhouse, which they think Americans are hiding in. Like, it's just, it's very funny. It's two high pitched German accents, and he's clearly like a well read, smart guy going through history. And
if you think at that time when he was doing this, that's the equivalent of us talking about 2003.
It's a 9/11 joke.
Yeah, it is. It's a 9/11 joke.
100%.
I had that feeling you had mentioned with Lenny Bruce, where I was watching him and I'm going, yeah, this is just like an open micer who's like, it's just like doing vaguely political stuff or overtly political stuff and railing against. And I was like, oh, wait, no. Lenny Bruce was like one of the first to do this, if not the first. Like,
this is the template that everyone aped, thus making it hacky.
Yes, like, exactly.
You created, you spawned all of these copycats.
Yeah. Carrying his notes on stage, he'd look down at them, kind of affected his whole delivery. I was like, oh, you spawned that.
Yeah.
Andrew, I am crazy curious because you were very animated.
Well, it's crazy that we each seem to have chosen a comedian who kind of embodies our comedy. Oh, you know, we've got Ben Roy with Lenny Bruce. We've got Adam with Newhart. And of course, I went with Eddie Murphy's Raw as as the Eddie Murphy of the Grawlicks.
Yep. This all tracks.
I've got 17 fat suits in my closet. You know that everyone calls me the Eddie Murphy of the Grawlicks.
Andrew watching Eddie Murphy, I'm already so excited. And one of these, Delirious Raw, which I know, I've seen both of them fairly recently. I can't fucking wait for this. All right, Andrew.
Well, this one immediately jumped to mind because I can remember when it came out. I was a kid in the 80s when this came out. It was like a cultural bomb had went off. I remember people talking about it. I remember it was like, for lack of a better word, naughty.
Yeah, it's taboo shit.
Oh boy, is this the naughty stuff? Oh goodness. So I had never seen Raw, and so I was like, all right, I'm gonna check out Eddie Murphy's Raw. Yeah.
And now you were going in kind of expecting a Nutty Professor energy, right?
Yeah, because for me, Eddie Murphy doesn't get any better than Professor Clump. That's my Eddie Murphy. So I really wanted to see the stand-up Eddie Murphy before he hit his stride as Norbit. I wanted to see
what could have come before.
So
before he ran as Norbit, he had to crawl.
Yeah. As a stand-up.
I can't even imagine. Okay, so what first your of all, are on Raw.
Let's just go through I'll just take you through the whole special if you haven't seen it. I didn't know anything about it other than it was so taboo. So it starts off with a sketch, and like,
did you bring your TV in from the garage to watch it, or did you watch it in the garage?
Oh, stop it. Yeah, I wanted it to feel authentic, like an 80s vibe. So I went and got a black and white TV. Yeah.
You hiding in your bathroom watching it.
So it kicks off with a comedy sketch, and it continues the trend of 100% of pre-special comedy sketches not being funny. It's not funny. And I sat, and it is long, though. It's long to get to the joke. It's like a young Eddie Murphy telling a dirty joke at a family dinner. And yeah, then the special kicks off. The special has its own song. The song only has one word, and it's raw. And it's like, raw, raw. And it's a great 80s tune. Bespoke special music, that's kind of cool. And this might be cool. The coolest thing about the special is this song, this 80s song, Raw, where they just kind of intermittently go, Raw. And then the special kicks off, and Eddie Murphy is dressed like a Batman villain. He's wearing a purple leather paisley suit that, if at any moment in the special Batman dropped out of the shadows and started beating the shit out of him, you wouldn't blink. That's the caliber of this suit. It's an insane leather suit. He's got leather gloves on. I was so distracted by this leather suit. I've worn leather pants for like a comedy sketch. They were insufferable. They feel horrible. You're sweating like crazy. I can't imagine doing a whole stand-up set wearing a full leather suit, but hats off, Eddie, you did it. So Eddie, he kicks off with some truly C-minus impressions. He does some impressions that I'm not a huge fan of impressions, but I can respect good ones. You know, it's like, all right, you nailed it. You know, I've worked with Frank Caliendo a few times. Yeah, you dialed in these impressions. It Brad does much? Sound seriously. Like somebody else. Like,
like we're like keeping our...
You are as like good as resumes. A parrot. I tip my hat. I mean, that's what it is. The best impressionist. I'm like, yeah, you're as good as a parrot. And that's, you nailed it. But
I love Andrew's teeth today.
Yeah,
Eddie's impressions were not blowing me away. And then what was weird is he does a Mr. T impression, but then he does a Bill Cosby and a Richard Pryor impression. And it's weird to see a comedian do an impression of other comedians and then like doing material as those comedians was very weird. That's like,
and
you don't
comedians
normally...
that Eddie Murphy was straight up fucking ripping off. There is no question that Eddie Murphy is doing Richard Pryor.
He's laying it pretty bare by also doing their voice while he's doing the jokes. Because usually the recipe for impressions is like, what if Christopher Walken worked in a subway? And then they do that. But this was just like, hey, this is like their voice and we're having this conversation. So he does that. Then he cannonballs into some very classic 80s homophobia nonsense. Just
does not age well. It did not. None of this age.
Yeah. And just it made me sad to be like, yeah, in the 80s, like people talked this way. They had no issue talking this way. And I guess if anything, it was kind of inspiring to be like, well, at least we've come a long way from this kind of
shit. That's what you took from it so far.
The meat of the special is him talking about men and women and
hell yeah,
their differences, guys. Men and women,
they are different.
We are,
it turns out.
That's a good observation.
We are. yeah, I never thought of that. It's like we're so fucking different, and I've never
like different planets.
They're different, but in a lot of ways the same. It kind of turns out, but it's a lot of, I guess I can't say regressive because this was a long time ago, but a lot of opinions and attitudes about women and relationships that now are...
Let me ask you, Andrew, how much did he use the word pussy in it?
He uses the word pussy so much that he devalues it. Have you ever heard someone talk about something so much that you begin to question your interest or like of that thing? It's like hearing a bad salesman try to talk you into a car. At some point, you're like, I don't think I even want this car anymore. Like, that's how much he's like... talking about
the gooch.
So much pussy.
Let's say gooch because it's not as jarring.
Yeah, we don't want pussy's offensive. Let's use gooch from here on out.
Yeah, how about this? Does he talk about getting that good gooch?
Yeah, you want that gooch so good it makes you do crazy things, you guys. When the gooch is good, You do crazy stuff.
I always put the Googe on a pedestal is my problem.
Yeah, and they know it too. That's why they withhold it from you. Because you guys know me.
I'm totally Googe whipped right now, and I can't help it.
That's what happens when you're a Googe hound like Ben Roy.
But this chunk of the special is where the challenge aspect of this truly kicked in. Because I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. I'll pick something else, or I'll just lie and say that I finished it or something. But I didn't. I stuck it out and I grinded through this. And eventually he gets on to some other topics. He's talking about how Italian Americans see Rocky and think they're badasses and they want to fight. And that was like a bit more interesting, but the issue with all these bits is, it goes too long. It's like, as we all know, a lot of comedians might leave a little meat on the bone, which is fine. You can leave the audience wanting more. Maybe you could have dug a little more gold out of that vein. An amazing comedian gets just the right amount of meat on the bone. But when you go too far, then you're belaboring the audience. You're like, yeah, we get it. We get the joke. And all of these bits, he goes minutes too
far.
This
is legitimately the same speech that Adam gave me at the last Grolix that I was at about my set.
I know, and we're just trying to, you know, we feel like if we say it enough times, then maybe you'll internalize it.
Everything Andrew just said, and just post it later as my review of Ben Roy's Hyena, then we're good to go. I think we've got both of our takes covered.
But in this special, he's just going minutes too long on each premise, where you're like, okay, yeah, we get it. We get this. And he just keeps doing it. And it ends up the best stuff on there, although by this point I was not in the mood for it anymore. He's talking about like eating toys. He's talking about like having to eat toys, you know, and his friends are having like McDonald's and great things. There's also a bit about growing up poor and his mom making him like her version of a McDonald's burger, and his friends have the real McDonald's burger. But I didn't laugh one time. I didn't laugh once. I just sat there and watched it, and I was like, man, this is, like, bumming me out.
I'm just curious, because, like, this is when you get into these conversations like Ben sort of started this episode with, which are often insufferable with people who are like, oh, if you're a comic, you must love this, you must love this, and we're always like, no, I hate everything you're saying. Raw often comes up. People still to this day will be like, Eddie Murphy Raw, that is comedy. And I agree with everything you're saying. I haven't seen it in years. Did you find anything redeeming? Was it like, holy fuck, this guy's got that star power, or like his energy up there is so fucking undeniable?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's clearly a great comedian in terms of like stage presence and things. And it felt like, I think, and this is something I've seen with other comedians who are like superstar comedians, you no longer have a bar of quality, like, because everyone only blows smoke up your ass. You no longer have any frame of reference for like true quality and like great stuff. And so
they laugh,
you go out there and you're just like, everything I say is gold. Every single thing that falls out of my mouth is the funniest thing, because the crowd reacts that way. And I guess me being able to watch that now, never having seen it, having no nostalgic attachment to it, that's how it felt to me. It was like, this is someone who has lost their frame of reference for what is quality and what is not. So they just like talk, and it's like, that's why the bits are too indulgent. That's why they go on too long. They're redundant, because the crowd just laughs no matter what. Like, it wouldn't matter.
So it sounds like you loved it.
The coolest thing I thought about this whole special was that it was written and directed and performed entirely by Black people. It was written by Eddie Murphy and Keenan Ivory Wayans. It's very cool in the 80s.
Wait, so it was written by Keenan Ivory Wayans? Like, he didn't even write all the jokes?
I think it might have been the sketch at the beginning written by the both of them. But that was cool. But as a special,
I think that that's what was so groundbreaking about it. There was obviously, it was very raw and it was very filthy, but it achieved mainstream popularity, and it was a Black
artist. It's still the top selling concert film of all time. But as far as the subject matter, I guess we've just changed. But also, I've spent over 20 years listening to comedy of all stripes. It seemed so tame to me. Like, nothing in that special even pings the radar of gross, fucked up shit that I've heard comedians say. It doesn't even...
It's not on the Sean Rouse.
If I were to... If you were to... I'd be like, this is... It's basically PG-13. This is like a PG-13 comedy special.
Well, you know, and this is very true. I think more than any art form, stand-up comedy ages poorly. Like, it just, all the humor is of a very specific era. What's funny in 2023 is not in 2026 necessarily. So it's just like, so you listen to stuff like Ben and I were listening to from the 60s, and it feels like, is this vaudeville? It's so far ago.
Yeah.
That, like, it is hard to appraise these albums because inevitably the era, the time, bleeds into all of it. Whether it's like language that you can't stand hearing anymore,
like women are greedy. All these women just sitting at home waiting to divorce you and take half your shit.
Well, and Hyena gets into that pretty hard.
Well, let's not talk about mine. I don't want to do that part of it.
40 minutes of Hyena.
So let's quickly ask the question. Is this something that you think makes you or the world or both a better person? And will you do it again? I'll start. I don't care. I wish I cared more about the greats of stand-up.
It's a real Lenny Bruce attitude.
I just don't give a shit. I listen to the stand-up comedy I like, mostly from contemporaries, because I like stuff of today. But I do think it does help me to understand, and especially reading about everything Lenny Bruce went through, to know, like, hey, some people really laid down their lives, like their well-being and their safety, for me to be able to do what I do. So I do think that it's good to have that reference point, but I don't know that I'll continue doing it. What about you, Adam?
I think, you know, I was curious about Bob Newhart as an artist beforehand. And so to like go, I'm glad that I spent the time and I can now knowledgeably talk about that guy and his comedy. I don't think there's any harm in going down the field you're in and learning more about the past. I've read books about comedy. Like, if anybody's curious, The Comedians by Cliff Nesteroff starts at like the beginning of comedy and goes all the way to modern times. It's a great read. But yeah, I'm with you on that, Ben. Like, current comedy, with what I just said earlier about it aging, I feel like that's more what I'm into. And I want to try to do more of that, to watch other performers. I try to like be cognizant of what our friends are doing and contemporaries, but I think I need to cast a wider net watching modern day performers, because you're just like, I do this, so I'll see the comics that I perform with whenever. But you know, catching 5 minutes of a set is a different experience than watching someone do an hour. And so I do enjoy learning about comedy that way. I don't think it makes the world a better place, other than knowing what you do as a career a little bit better. If every profession did that, the world would be a better place.
Yeah. What about you, Andrew?
You going to watch Raw again today?
Yeah. I don't know if I would.
What about Delirious?
Yeah, I did pay for it, so I should get my money's worth. But it was interesting. I do find it interesting to go back and dig into these comedy roots. I would go back and check out some Richard Pryor, if that is who Eddie Murphy was ripping off. Maybe.
Yes, he was definitely ripping off. You'll see.
Go into that.
Go watch Live on Sunset.
Like, I would.
That's a fantastic special.
Adam's description of Bob Newhart special, I'm like, I would check. Maybe I'll check that out. I don't know. That sounds like it might be something entertaining, but I think it's always good for the world to investigate why you do things, or the kind of history of things that you do or things that you enjoy. I don't think it ever hurts to dig into that and kind of explore it, even if you end up like, you know, that wasn't for me. I expected Eddie Murphy's Raw to be explosively taboo and have me like laughing and like, oh, I feel horrible for laughing at that, but instead, I didn't laugh once. But at least I know that, you know, that that's how that special is, and it kind of has reframed, you know, my attitude.
I love the way he talks about things like that, where he's like, I guess I hated it, and I thought it was pure garbage. But some
people like pure garbage.
And that's
sub-chow.
Yeah, you know, comedy's subjective. But I am going to do the sub-challenge. I'm going to compare Eddie Murphy's Raw to Ben Roy's Hyena.
No, don't do this.
And I will say, I've watched them both. I laughed way more at Ben Roy's Hyena. So I will tell you, you can print it. Ben Roy's Hyena, better than Eddie Murphy's Raw. 800-pound gorilla, you can put that tagline on all of your marketing.
Let's put that out there and say Grolic Saves the World podcast. Let's not assign it to you.
I'm going to start using that in my social media. Like, you can forget about Eddie Murphy's Raw.
Yep.
Check out Ben Roy's Hyena.
Make that your bio.
Adam.
So is the challenge for me to say whether he's better than Bob Newhart?
I don't want you to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this.
I have not watched Ben's special, and I don't really intend to.
But you know Ben's comedy, so I think you're still qualified. You're still qualified.
I guarantee I've seen every bit on the special.
I don't like any of this.
And I would say, you know, it's like apples and oranges. I enjoy them both. So I'll say tie.
Oh, wow. Tied with Bob. You can 800-pound gorilla. You can also use that in your marketing.
As good as Bob Newhart.
Quote, tied with Bob Newhart's 1961 special.
62. The button down mind.
Yes. Thank you guys so much. This was fun.
Yes.
But to all of you listening, what did we miss? What's a stand-up special from the ancient years of stand-up that we completely missed out on and we should check out?
Oh, God. Here come the edgelords. Dice Man, live at the Philly Filth Pit.
I mean,
those are our fans. Those are, yeah.
Carrot Top. All the puppet assholes. So yeah, I think this was a good chow, y'all. And yes, please, people listening, chime in with
where Ben ranks in the history of comedy.
No,
that's
I
all
don't
we care
want
about.
To chime
in. Please compare.
Place
watch Ben's special
pantheon.
First of all, and pay for it because that supports Ben and it supports him
watch
in
it,
future endeavors. And then go on social media and rank his special amongst all of the best specials.
This little hunk of meat.
Guys, I'm gonna stop this now. That was a fun challenge. Thank you so much for participating, guys. What a fun one. We're better as people and now as historians of stand-up comedy. Let's
and
do
now
this.
I know about pussy. I know all about pussy.
Let's
I know
take a
I know how pussy works.
Googe, dude. Be kind.
Nah, pussy, dude.
Andrew's kind of a bad
let's take
boy.
A quick break.
What are you doing later? You want
to
hang out?
No, stop and listen to some live stand-up.
Andrew and I are going to hang out later.
No. Some live stand-up comedy.
Andrew and I are going to a strip club later. What? So what?
No, I don't like it when you guys do that. Let me be that. Let me take that.
A couple of boys at the couple of dogs out on the
no
town.
Okay, live stand-up comedy. If you guys are okay, let's play another clip from my stand-up special Hyena that you can get now. You can order it, pay for it, or in 2 days, August 10th, Thursday, August 10th, it becomes
it's
10 free
bucks
to stream
cheaper
on
than a
YouTube.
Movie and almost as long as one.
Hey, okay,
you can
anyway.
Use that too. 800-pound gorilla.
All right, listen to this.
Remember, funnier than Raw, as funny as Newhart. Ben Roy's Hyena.
Okay, let's do that. When we return, third actors, you're on deck. Get ready, the best third act in the biz. We've got more show, plus we're going to tease the next episode's challenge. So please stay tuned.
And Andrew, I'll see you at the Prime Rib Buffet at Dandy Dan's.
Let's go get leather suits, dude, before we go.
I got norovirus, which, yeah, those of you that have had it, you just, if you heard everybody in here, you heard a very low bass groan, like a, because if you have had norovirus, you know it. It is the worst illness. If you don't know what it is, it's that virulent stomach illness that lasts only like 20 hours, but it docks cruise ships. Right? I didn't think you could get this shit unless you came into contact with a limbo stick that hadn't been properly sanitized. But you can get this shit on dry land, and oh my God, was it bad. I mean, that's the most sick I've ever been. I learned shit from norovirus. Seriously. For instance, man has pondered for generations whether it is possible for one's own soul to exit out one's own asshole. And I'm here to tell you all, I know the answer now. And the answer is no. It can't. But it can poke its head out. And my soul got a gander around because it almost came out of me. Holy God, not a very Not a very, very technologically, very primitive illness, that one. A king killer, the kind of illness that halted the exploration of continents. It was bad. Like, I like to imagine if norovirus is a person, he's just a real straight shooter. You know what I mean? If norovirus was a guy, he's like, COVID? That's a designer illness. I mean, really, think about it. What does COVID do? You know what I mean? Long COVID, you have all these crazy symptoms, you know? You got loss of sense of smell or taste. You've got brain fog, neuropathy, the shakes, right? Fever. Every illness is different for every person. It tailors it to you. That is a nice illness. That is, COVID is the J.D. Power and Associates Illness of the Year. And, that is a nice illness. But not me. Norovirus, not me. I'm a meat and potatoes type of guy. Just give me a lot of liquid out the face and butt. That's what I like.
Hey, do you love the Grolic Saves the World, but are sad because you're not getting enough of it?
Boy, do I.
Well, great news. You can get all sorts of bonus content on our Patreon.
Like what?
Tell them, Ben.
Act 4. Ad-free episodes, birthday shoutouts, exclusive merch, stronger, more painful erections, our pod within a pod, boy crazy, decreased A1C levels, photos and videos, bonus content, and so much more.
Okay, I'll do it.
No... Kick to me. Say, how do I do it? How do I sign up?
We're not trying to sell it to you, Andrew. You don't have to. Jesus.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounded good. Okay, how do I sign up then?
Fuck it.
You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/Grolic Saves.
I do want to sign up. And we are back. Welcome to the third act. Ooh, best
boom,
third act in the game.
Where the hell y'all been? I know you were waiting. You were just letting it play out in your garage while you were listening to some Speedwagon and working on the undercarriage, getting that catalytic converter solid and tight to the chassis.
So the neighbors can rip it out tomorrow. Thanks to the magic of podcasting, Adam is not here for the third act. Adam's contract stipulates he only has to do 20 third acts a year. So he's using some of that PTO and he is not here. But Ben and I, we can hold the step. We always have a blast when it's just Ben and I in the third act. It's like an audio water park.
We crush it. And also, Grolic Globotech Industries is one of the first companies that offers paternity leave nearly 2 years after your children are born.
That's when you really need it. Yes, exactly.
That's when you need it. Yeah. So we do that. And it's a very progressive way of doing things. Adam, enjoy the time with your – and congratulations. It's a couple boys.
Belated. What's the second one's name? Travis? I don't know. And I don't give a shit. Do we have any thanks for this episode?
Yes, we do. We want to thank the ghosts of Lenny Bruce, Bob Newhart, and Eddie Murphy.
R.I.P. R.I.P. You guys. Yeah, to
all of them. I hope you're up there, Eddie, getting some of that good pussy.
I hope you're wearing God's fat suit.
Oh, Andrew, looking down here, I'm noticing the Grolic Globotech Industries phone line. The voicemail is blinking here.
Oh, shit.
That's
only
bad
to be
sign.
Used in emergencies. Let's see what it is.
Yeah, let's hit play here.
Hey there, third actors. Sorry I could not be there for the credit sequence. I got pretty busy, couldn't make it happen. But I'm sure it's just riveting stuff with Ben and Andrew. Oof, don't worry. You'll get through it. I'll be back for the next one. But I wanted to let you know I will be in Grand Rapids, Michigan, August 19th at the Pyramid Scheme performing one show only. And Michigan, you've always mattered so much to me. You know, you're just a pivotal key swing state, and that's part of the reason I'm coming out there to tell you my stories, to tell you my jokes, and I really hope to see you there. So if you know anyone in Grand Rapids, you know anyone in Michigan, send them that way, August 19th at the Pyramid Scheme. And, you know, good luck with the rest of the credits with Andrew and Ben. I hope they can pull it off, but I doubt that they can. Okay, see you in Michigan. Bye.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Well,
wow. We have to get rid of that voicemail line feature because it's antiquated. And
I don't like it.
I don't like checking it. So
no, I don't either. And I don't like that Adam is using it. It was not meant for that. It was meant for family and friends to access during emergency.
Yes. This is for emergencies. All emergencies go directly to voicemail.
Yes.
But that does segue us into a very important segment.
Andrew.
Books. Books.
Ooh, it's got a Shakira vibe to it today. Yeah. I liked it.
It's because I was like standing up and shaking my hips. Yeah, that's
and
why.
They don't lie. They are some of the most truthful, non-insubordinate hips I've ever seen. Andrew, subordinate, I guess, is what you would say. I have something to plug. I would love to plug this. And I've been saying it. My special, Hyena, will be available for free in 2 days, Thursday, August 10th. Please tell everybody. I know you already know. I've been hammering it so hard. I've been saying it throughout this entire episode. But please, if you get a chance, check it out. Tell the world. It would be greatly appreciated. Hyena, it's available for free to stream on YouTube August 10th. That's this coming Thursday if you're listening to this episode in real time. And thank you in advance for your support. Andrew, let me hit you with it. What you got for plugs?
Plugs. Nice.
What do you got?
Well, I'm going to plug our live show. August 26th, we are bringing in River Butcher, our pal. You may have heard him on a recent episode of this podcast. Which I believe is titled "The River Runs Through Them."
Yep.
River's hilarious. I think that's definitely going to sell out. The tickets are on sale now, so you can pounce on those. We also have Denver favorite Chanel Hughes opening. So,
oh my lord, what a monster lineup! That is huge.
Last month, Skrillex sold out, and people were sad when I had to tell them it was sold out. So, don't be one of those sad people. Get on those tickets. Let's do this.
I like the way you say that. As always, folks, please, if you can, we encourage you to subscribe, follow, share, and review this podcast. If you don't already, you can follow us on all the social media platforms. It's at Grolix Comedy. But we want to read your reviews, and I have one. Adam's not here, but I never get to read a review.
Ooh, okay.
I have one,
okay.
5 stars from AHSBDVRV, which I actually had a case of one time.
Yikes. It's aggressive.
Honestly, it's a topical steroid these days, but I would not recommend it. So if you can, you're going to want to stay out of certain grasses during certain times of years. You don't want to get the AHBD.
Yeah, that's what you're calling them now, but grasses? Okay.
Yeah, well, it's they say that most teenage boys carry it. This review says,
well, you killed that riff. That's a pretty good way to kill riff. Didn't have anything else to joke around about it.
The headline says, my most recommended podcast. And then it says, this is by far my most recommended podcast. I simply refuse to stop telling people about it. After listening to it on my recommendation, other people have described it as having a quote unquote feral energy. But I'm choosing to take that as a compliment. Thank you so much for leaving that 5-star review.
Feral, and I'll take it. Yeah, you know what? I'll take it. And we appreciate
to get
you
into
telling
the thin walls of a trailer friends. Home and fuck and breed.
You're gonna need a large cage trap to get us to get us under control.
And if you get a hold of our neck skin, we're still gonna swirl around and probably claw at your forearms. It's
you can catch my next comedy special on The Dodo on Instagram as a loving couple is trying to coax me into the backseat of their car.
So if you don't already, you can follow us. Like I said, also social media platforms, at Grolix Comedy. Leave a review. You will probably read it on here. And we want to hear about all of your favorite comedy specials and what we've missed, what you thought, what we should do next. So please reach out. Tell us what you think.
Chime in. But if you want us to really listen to you, support us through Patreon. We've got a Patreon with 3 different tiers. There's an Adam tier, an Andrew tier, and a Ben tier. Each tier comes with its own fun perks. There's even a podcast within a podcast on there called Boy Crazy, where we rank the hunkitude of icons throughout pop culture. We just released a Boy Crazy on there. It's a grunge Boy Crazy where I'm overflowing with correct opinions. If you want to just hear me bubbling over with right shit,
if I ever
check
hear
out
you call
Boy Crazy.
Chevelle a grunge band.
They gotta be Patreons to hear this stuff. They gotta be Patreons. So you can visit our Patreon. We love hearing from our Patreons. You can give us challenge ideas, things like that. Check it out at patreon.com/Grolic Saves. It's a truly awesome way to support the pod if you can spare the cash.
Yeah, and as always, this pod doesn't even exist without overused catchphrase Ron Doyle. Thank you for producing
just
it and making it happen.
Hearing that is hack. Just hearing
it's
Ron
hack.
Doyle is
everybody,
hack to me.
Yeah, it's just boom, you got Doyled. You know what I mean?
And yeah, that's what we say.
Old. Yeah, we do say it. Like, and I hate it. I think it's hacky, and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. A big thanks as well to Mike Henderson for your help recording at the live show. And as always, our theme music is brought to you by the classic Charlie Continental. You keep him in a garage. Your Nana owned him, but never drove him. He's only got 47,000 original miles on him.
Mint.
And yeah, the rats got to his seat, but... But you can do a full restore on that upholstery.
Definitely. What are we going to do next episode?
Well, we talked some bullshit last episode. We said that this episode was going to be outdoors. We're going to be doing something outside. That's how we teased it. But some things got shuffled around while we're waiting to finish up a particular episode. But it looks like, to tease this, next episode, I think we're finally going to go outside, Andrew, and it's good because we are pale. You're like one of those fish that has the clear see-through head.
Stop
where
it.
You can,
stop
no,
it.
It is where you can see, and all it is memories of Truman being inaugurated. Why did you go to the Truman inauguration? It's weird. Andrew? I love doing the third act with you. This has been fun.
It's been so great.
It's been nice without Adam. Listen to this. That's nice. That's so nice. You hear that? And he didn't get mad at us for laughing too much or having too much fun as he is wont
or
to do.
Or misspeaking a lot. We do what we want.
Play us out, Charlie! Miss speaking a lot.